eat.
Oh, so good.
Drink. Talk. Rick Redding and Steve Coombs serve up savory conversations about Louisville's world-famous restaurant food and drink scene. The wine is uncorked, the bourbon neat, the apps are on the table. Here comes the main course.
Eat, Drink, Talk 53, open. And we're back after a crazy derby week at Louisville's top restaurant and bar, podcast where we dove deep into the restaurant and bar scene here. A little bit too much of a good thing, am I right, Rick Redding?
We need to stay above water for the next few days at least, and not have any alcohol. That would be a good idea. Thing for our bodies.
I'm your host Steve Coombs, and Rick and I were trying to go over our notes over the before we started the show. We were like, we got a whole lot to talk about because there was a whole lot going on, and man. Like I had told him, there wasn't overconsumption issues. It was repetitive consumption issues. You can only, you can die by 1,000 small sips.
You know, there you go.
of whiskey, and it was just everywhere.
Everybody's long said about Derby Week. It's a marathon, not a sprint, and you got to really take a little bit at a time if you can.
That's right. We completed the marathon, but boy, Sunday was a recuperation day, and it's going to be backed up by two other whiskey-free days.
There you go.
To make sure. But we want to thank our sponsors for supporting us for our fantastic show. Rick, you're the Eye Care Institute guy. Talk about that.
Yeah. Well, as we begin our second year of Eat, Drink, Talk, much thanks to our friend Mark Prussian down at the Eye Care Institute for being a longtime sponsor. They're your one-stop shop for eye care. They can take care of your routine vision issues, or if you need significant work on your eyes, such as LASIK, or you have a problem like cataracts, the Eye Care Institute is where you want to visit, like Steve did last week. They're located in Butchertown at 1536 Story Avenue, 502-589-1500. You can give them a call, and they'll set you right up with an appointment.
And after you get done with the Eye Care Institute, go down to Harvest. Elevated Southern cuisine done by Chef Patrick Roney. Don't miss the bargain of the week, the three-course Thursday, when you get three courses of his foods, just kind of his whim, each Thursday for $30. Can't beat that bargain. Call 384-9090 for reservations or make your reservations online at harvestrestaurant.com or just take your chances and roll down and in for dinner at 624 East Market in Nulu.
There you go. I need to do that again. So
I know. This Thursday it's on my calendar to go do it.
There you go.
I'm kidding, but the gut's recovering, so I'm not doing any other meals until restaurant meals, that is, anyway. So, Rick, you got to do a snazzy event, the inaugural fundraiser for the Ali Center. I'm trying to think of the name of the event.
It was just below the level of having to get a tux. But anyway, the Ali Center hosted the culinary kickoff for the first time in Louisville. The people behind it are really great. And just a shout out to Chrissy Delisle, who was our host, and just did a wonderful job of making everybody feel comfortable. And the sponsors were great. I got to sit at a table next to, I was able to say, there were like three people from Esquire magazine. And I was able to say, well, I've been a subscriber since 1982. I know all about your magazine. So we talked about that a lot. And
it was a multi-course feast? It was a
three-course dinner. And you know these chefs, Bo McMillan and
Todd English
and our very own Damaris Phillips, who was on this show, did dessert, and it was fantastic meal. The lead in the cocktail hour, I had this scallop thing that they had over there, and I'm no Steve Coombs when it comes to describing dishes, but this was an awesome taste, and I went around and did a few things like that. There were some celebrities there, some football players, a guy named Fred McGriff. Remember him?
Mm-mm.
He was a baseball player for the Braves back in the day. He was there, and an actor from Louisville, who is on the TBS show called Training Day, and actually the trivial thing with that, the thing that's really cool about that, his co-star was Bill Paxton.
God rest his soul.
Rest his soul, and he told us some stories about Bill. And this guy is Justin, and he played Muhammad Ali in a local production. Now lives in L.A. So you hear about all kinds of cool and interesting people when you go to an event like this.
Well, I was on the much more casual cruise on the Belle of Louisville on Wednesday for the boat race, which is fun. People talk about that being a bucket list item, and I can see why they enjoy that. My wife and I were guests of Four Roses Bourbon, which is nice. And they have on the boat, they always pick two barrels for the race, one for the Belle of Cincinnati or the Belle of whatever fills in this year, and one for the Belle of Louisville. And each gets to taste, everybody aboard gets to taste both options, and it's just fantastic. But just it's just good to hang out. You see a lot of folks that you see on TV. They're on, you know, they're accessible, reporters, meteorologists, all that kind of stuff. People love going up, you know, and getting to shake their hands and be personal with them because, hey, you know, they're stuck on a boat for almost 4 hours.
That's right.
They got to be nice. But it's a lot of fun. It's just, it's cool to see that, you know, everybody's really in the mood by that time, even though the weather was just a little bit chilly. Not as bad as last year.
Well, there is a lot of that. I may talk a bit about later, but a lot of that sort of thing with media and celebrities on the backside at Churchill Downs any day during Derby Week. And,
yeah, that's always cool to do.
I went on Wednesday with our photographer, Bill Breimer, and hung out there a little bit, had a free donut, and I wrote a piece about my experience on eDrinkTalk.net.
Free donut. Didn't you donate to the charity to get your donut?
Well, yeah. It's a donation, though. The donut was free. They have a lot of people back there in that room.
It is packed, especially if it's cold.
I know. My advice is to go early in the week. Go on Wednesday like I did and go extra early, like at 6 o'clock before the sun comes up, because by 7:30 or 8, it's a madhouse. So go early next year.
So I didn't go early to the Stitzel Weller event at
I read about Stitzel that. Sounded great.
We got there. I had a gig, a country ham and whiskey pairing at Michter's Distillery earlier that evening. We tasted 10 whiskeys, six country hams, which I thought would be too much, but it turned out to be great. In fact, they finished it off with a $5,000 celebration bottle, which was pretty marvelous. But there was a party in from the Tao Restaurant Group, a really high-end group. It was fun to talk to these people from all over the country who are like, rain, so what? We're going to Derby. We don't care. Because I think a lot of the locals are like, oh, this is such a drag. It's having rain again. But everybody from out of town was fired up. Like, well, we just put on some more clothes and off we go. So it kind of got me back in the mood before we went to dinner at Stitzel Weller. Traditionally, that is held outside. They rapidly put up a tent, straw lawn, and Wiltshire Pantry, which is an amazing catering operation, did the whole thing, kept us dry, kept us warm, well-fed and watered, as we had been all week. So it was really cool. Well, I think, what was it? That we tasted the Blade & Bow release, the 22-year-old whiskey, which I like it. It's quite good, but not my favorite.
Okay.
I have to say so.
Well, they can't all be on the top 10, only 10 of them.
Well, that's just my palate. Everybody else gets to, you know, weigh in. But Julian Van Winkle was there. It's fun to watch him live the rock star, whiskey rock star life.
Yeah. All right. Well, it was all great. You have a winner on the Derby, Steve?
I did not even bet. But, you know, I would have, out of sentimental reasons, bet on Battle of Midway's. It's always my favorite World War II battle, and it showed.
Your show bet would have paid handsomely. I went on TwinSpires.com and put $50 in my account and bet $50 on the Derby and won $48.
Bet $50 and $148.
Yeah, I now have $48. There's a $5 fee, but I basically got back what I put in, so I'll put all that on the. You know, the great thing about Twin Spires, I'll put all that money, that whole $48, on the Preakness and see if I can lose it there.
So, in leading up to our first guest is John Bazell, who's the general manager at the Value Market in Mid-City Mall. Rick was speaking with him about that upcoming beer festival, and by then maybe we'll feel like actually having some alcohol in our bodies.
I think so. We got a whole week and a half to rest up. It's May 20th, Saturday. It's the Highlands Beer Fest. He claims, and he basically claims, that it is the oldest in the region outside of Festive Ales in New Albany. So even before all these, it seems like there's a beer fest every other weekend in the summer now. The Highlands Beer Fest was the original, and John, I certainly admire a guy because we can't do this, has been in the same job since he was 16 years old.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever shop there, he's a guy about average height, average size, red-haired, fair skin, and always touching everything. I mean, he is on putting stuff on the shelves, he's taking them off, he's moving it around, he's giving direction. He is a hands-on manager for sure.
That's right, and he's very knowledgeable about beer. And tell me a little bit about, you know, I'm sure some of our fans here at Eat Drink Talk are fans of ethnic foods, and told me about the effort they take, you'll hear in the interview, to get that Iroquois store stocked with all that product.
It is amazing. You got to go see that sometime. But before then, let's listen in as Rick interviews John Bazell,
head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Rom.
Today I'm with Matt Jones,
Kevin Harned, Pat Forty.
But I'm with Anoush Sheriott, Crispin Wall,
United States Congressman John Yarmuth,
Sarah Brofancher, and Susie Eastman.
I have Kristen Boone,
one of St. Matthew's most favorite sons, Danny Flanagan.
It's Pat Day.
The list goes on and on. The most interesting people in the Ville are on the Rusty Satellite Show with Rick Redding. New episodes Thursdays on Louisville.am.
And I am at a Highlands institution today, the Value Market, but a spot in the back with John Bazell, the manager of the store here. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's tough. Monday morning after Derby, you got a lot of empty shelves to fill up.
We've been stocking all morning trying to get cleaned back up.
Well, I'm sure it, with that and with a lot of other events, this Value Market here in the Highlands is it's the center of action for a lot of people. You know, I mean, your business.
It is. It's a big part of the Highlands. We're right in the center. Got a great parking lot, plenty of good beer. And everything you could want.
Yeah, how do you get to be the best place to buy beer in among groceries?
It takes a lot of good distributors to help us, you know, keep us up to date, keep the good beer in, move the old beer out. And, it takes a lot of work.
Well, I know that the reason we're here today, we're talking about the May 20th Highlands Beer Fest that is held right here in the side parking lot?
The side lot in between our back of our store and the back door bar and grill.
Okay. How many years have you been doing this? This
will be our 10th festival. So I think it's 9 years, our 10th festival. 1 year we did two.
Wow. So it is, there is some dispute, I guess, but it is the oldest of these modern day beer fests.
We're pretty sure it's the oldest. Okay. There's a lot of good festivals out there, but we believe we've been running the longest in Kentucky.
Wow, in Kentucky. Because I know you mentioned the age of the one at the zoo.
Brew at the zoo. We were before it. Tailspin, which is a great festival. We were before them. Kegs Festivales is the one in Indiana that definitely outdates us. But
okay. Now, what makes it, you know, tell me a little bit about how this got started, because, you know, it seems like there's one almost every weekend now, but back then, nobody.
Me and one of our distributors were talking one day, and he said, you know, you've got that nice hallway in the mall there. We should do a beer festival indoors and then take over the whole mall. So I was like, well, that's a pretty good idea. That could be cool. So 6 months of planning and... Yeah. December of 2009, we had our first festival in the mall and packed it pretty full.
Okay.
And then within 3 years, we outgrew the mall and started looking for an outdoor spot.
Okay. And it's just so like I can picture it. The outdoor spot is where exactly?
It's the side lot. So when you look
at
our store.
Back door?
Yeah. So when you look at our store from Bardstown Road, you go down the alley to the right-hand side, and it's that big side lot right there.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you a few questions about you, John, because I'm always amazed at anybody that is able to keep a job a long time. And you've been here a long time.
24 years in June.
Wow. And so, you barely look 24.
Well,
so.
I just turned 40, so since I was 16, I've worked for Value Market.
Working in the same place as 16. Now, I guess you've gotten promotions along the way. When did you become manager of the store?
I was running our Hurstbourne store, and then when we bought this store in 2005, I took this store over.
Okay. You must get a lot of, I know there's four Value Markets, and each one of them is sort of distinctive to their neighborhoods, right?
They all cater to the neighborhood, absolutely.
Right, because in particular, Iroquois Manor, a lot of people are familiar with that store because...
There are international food out there. We buy straight from Chicago and Miami, New Jersey. Sometimes California, just to get authentic international foods.
Okay. And you're involved in that. You were telling me that as a manager of the store, you wear multiple hats with the company because there's only four.
Right.
Managers.
Right. So I do the specialty food buying for our company. I do the beer buying, set up our ads for our beer products, and then our specialty food products. The Iroquois Manor store, it's such special that there's two or three managers there that do most of the buying for that store.
Okay. And I guess people are attracted to that, the people that live in that neighborhood. Yep. That's what they demand. Right?
That, and it draws people from even from our neighborhood to get some more authentic ingredients. Okay.
Well, it must be fun to be at the store that's known for being the best grocery store to buy beer here in the Highlands. How do you earn that reputation?
Selection is big, and then just always having the new thing. There's always rare beers that are hard to find, and luckily, since we sell a lot of beer, okay, we always get a taste of that those rare cases, sure, here and there.
Well, let's talk about some beer then. This big thing's coming up. What's the new and cool thing that's going to attract me to the beer festival?
The beer
festival
this year will have well over 200 beers, well over 60 breweries involved. There'll be quite a few breweries locally that or Kentucky breweries that you can't get unless you're buying them on draft at a bar. You can't take it home. Okay. So just a lot of rare things. We try to pick things that aren't your everyday regular beers.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, I'm thinking, because I talked to the guy from Fears. Is that one of those? Fears is going to be here?
Yeah, they should be here.
Okay.
Yep.
Jeff A.
Yeah.
Okay. And other unique things to Louisville? I mean, I know there's always an attraction to beers that you can't, like, get at the store or whatever. You got some stuff coming in for that?
Some local beers? We do. Mile Wide is new as, I think, 4 or 5 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a couple of their beers out there. I think their Northeastern Scavenger, which is, everybody's loved it. I'm trying to think off the cuff of who else is good. It's a big list.
Well, there's so many, like, it seems to me like we've been covering this, there's so many new breweries, like, in town or in the region. It's really hard. I would imagine it's hard to keep up. Not all of them are canning or
no,
bottles,
right.
Though.
A lot of them are draft only.
Okay.
So, and I've got a good list, but I don't have it in front of me.
I know we talked a few weeks ago. The guys at Goodwood, I guess they'll be here.
They'll be here. West Six is one of our sponsors at Lexington. Okay. They'll definitely be here with six of their different brews. Sweetwater is one of our sponsors. They'll have some good ones out there. And Deschutes is another sponsor of ours. So.
Well, I'm always interested in to go with the beer. Is there going to be food trucks, some sort of food out there?
We'll have our Value Market Grill cooking out like we do every year. And we'll have ribeyes, brats, hamburgers, hot dogs. We've got our entertainment lined up. Hot Iron Skillet will be out there with us playing.
That's a band.
That's
an appropriate name for a food event, I guess.
Right. And then, of course, the back door is always open with their food.
Mm-hmm.
Great wings back there. And then Spud's new Louisville barbecue, Louisville potato chip. He'll be
my friend John Good.
He'll be around. Yep.
I guess he's
everywhere.
He's probably a regular around here. I'm glad he was able to get to the end of your store.
Yep.
So, good. Well, is it last all day?
It starts, if you buy advance tickets, they're $20.
Okay.
You'll get to come in at 2:00 instead of 3:00. You also get 20 beer tickets instead of 15 beer tickets if you come day of. So if you come day of, you spend $20 still, only 15 beer tickets, and you got to wait till 3 to get in.
And that goes on until what?
It goes on until 7:00.
7:00.
And we do something different that some beer festivals don't do, since you're doing a beer ticket for each taste.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just want to get a full pour. So we'll have two areas where you can buy a full pour of our sponsors' beers. Four or five tickets instead of having to go around and get the 3 ounce sample, 3 ounce sample, 3 ounce sample.
Yeah, those 3 ounce. You get a lot of them. It adds up. But so you can get a full pour if you want. And so in the past, how many people? Have you filled up the parking lot over there?
We were close to capacity 2 years ago.
Okay.
We had just under 1,900 people. The last festival was around 1,500.
Okay.
So we're expecting between 1,500 and 2,000. Both last 2 years, it rained the day of. But we have big tents set up. So rain or shine, it'll be fine.
So we can weather through if we need to. What is the... there is a charitable interest here, right?
Right. The Bluegrass Center for Autism is a school. They have two location in... One is in our mall for high school age kids.
Okay.
So last 4 years they've been our charity that gets the proceeds from all the beer sales.
You gave them a nice check last year, I think.
They got just under $5,000 last year, and a little just over $5,000 the year before.
Wow.
They also help out with volunteers. They get a ton of volunteers because they know where the money's going.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I know, because I've done the beer pour, and there's a lot of manpower needed to put on these beer fests.
It takes a lot of people. It does.
Well, it must be a labor of love for you. Did you have an early inkling that beer would be a part of what you were really interested in?
When I started actually in management in like 98 or 99 at one of our stores, I kind of took over the beer department at that store and tried to get into some of the crafts, but it was a little early for the area of that store. And then the Hirschborn store, we tried again, and it's still a little early. You had a lot of out-of-date beer because people weren't looking for craft then. And in the past about 12 years, it's really boomed.
But you see, as the beer manager, you must get a lot of requests for specific beers from your customers.
Absolutely. They're always looking for the next new thing. So.
Okay. Well, that's very cool. All right, so just to wrap it up, May 20th, so we, for our listeners here, it's a week from, is it Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
It's
week
on from Saturday.
Saturday.
A week from Saturday, you come down here, get your tickets in advance, or buy them at the door.
Buy them at the door. If you're doing it in advance, go to our website, valuemarket.com.
All right. Well, that's great. John Gazell, thanks for being on the Drink Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. It comes out on Louisville.am.
All right, and this is Rick Redding, your co-host, along with Steve Coombs of Eat, Drink, Talk, the most popular and fun restaurant and bar podcast in the city.
All those adjectives and more.
Exactly. We're going to have to get out our thesaurus at some point, come up with some new ones. But this is what everybody tells us is their favorite segment of the show. It's our favorite Eats and Drinks of the Week. And this segment is sponsored by Copper and King's Distillery in Butchertown. Right, Steve?
Marvelous people. They are creators of pot-distilled American brandies in Butchertown. Visit the distillery at 1121 East Washington Street for a tour, or look for its many brandies, gins, and absinthe on bars and retailer shelves around town. The next event, and they always seem to have something going on, is on May 19. It's their third annual Louisville Jazz Under the Stars event, and it's up on the third floor of its the building down there. It's a beautiful view of the skyline, so that alone
awesome.
Is great. So headliners for the day are, let's see, Herlon Robinson, A.D. Nichols, Daria, Lukey Day, and Cheryl Rouse, plus lots of food and cocktails, always there.
Man, that sounds fun. That's a good one.
Visit their Facebook page to get tickets through Eventbrite, Copper and Kings.
Man, that sounds like a good one. Love that kind of music. All right, well, let's talk about what do you have to eat there, Steve?
Well, my favorite eat of the week, I know it sounds really humble, but it was pizza at the Post. And not because everything else didn't have in the week was fantastic or wasn't fantastic. It was just I needed at that point on a Saturday to have something simple. Instead of going to the Derby, we crawled Germantown with some friends, hit a couple of spots. And after I think we watched the race at Goss Avenue Pub. So pizza, that's what we want. Had a slice. It was perfect. I mean, you just can't beat it.
Well, I had some chances to eat some fancy stuff during the week, but I'm going to go back to my trip after Dawn at the Downs to Wagner's, which is right across from the track on the backside.
It's a legend.
And it's a legendary place, and you can go in there and eat off styrofoam plates with your plastic forks, and you can get bacon or eggs or sausage and biscuits, and that's about it.
That's it. But you're dining among horse racing royalty.
That's right.
The trainers will be there.
It's all about atmosphere, and there's always a lot of famous people like to go there, and there's cool stuff on the walls, and it is a pharmacy in the back. There's stuff like aspirin and stuff.
And I understand that service there isn't overly friendly.
Well,
is that correct?
It's not unfriendly. It's just they're busy. If you get there now, during the week they open at 7. So if you get there right at 7 before they're busy. The waitresses are glad to tell you who's been in, what kind of famous people have been around, and I think most of the people that work there have been there quite a while, so they know the whole routine at Wagner's. They were taping a TV special while I was there, and like they were just used to it. They went around the reporter to serve up the eggs and all that. So the eggs and it's just really good breakfast food. Basic breakfast food in a great atmosphere.
Well, tell me about the old-fashioned that you had at Village Anchor. You said it was your favorite drink of the week, but probably because you were retreating to something normal after a wild week.
Well, it was a little wild. My girlfriend's daughter graduated from UK, and so we had a big 12-top table, which the people at the Village Anchor just did a great job of serving us and all that. But they had a special derby menu and highlighted the old-fashioned on the menu, and I just thought that was the right thing for for that moment.
Chose a known entity at that point.
That's exactly right. So, and you are all about the bourbon.
Well, you know, I was trying to figure out how many little tastes I had and just how many, you know, just no drunkenness, but it just all adds up to kind of, you know, rake the insides of your gut after a while and having so many. But before I got to that point, I had two whiskeys on the Belle of Louisville. As I was saying earlier, they pick a barrel for each boat, and you get the chance to taste both and evaluate which you like better. And it was a Four Roses Belle of Louisville bourbon that I liked the best. And it was Four Roses is not typically fruity or fruit-forward, but it's more spice-forward, and this was absolutely delicious, and we had plenty of it. But I also had to report the unfavorite was
something. That just looks gross. When I look at the words on the paper, a pickleback. What is that?
Pickleback. Our friends talked us into, or me into it. My wife wisely declined. It is a shot of whiskey with a shot of pickle juice. And it was that was at the Pearl. I love the Pearl, and I'm going to hold Susie Hoyt's feet to the fire for allowing me to have that. Because that is not very good.
It's not.
But a lot of people do like it. I they say it just offsets the saline, you know, just acidic. Pickle juice? No, it didn't do that for me. Oh. I just was like, thanks, I did it, check that off the list.
Yeah, don't have to try that again.
That's right.
Like many derby experiences, you got to do some of them once. Riding on the Bell.
That was enough. Well, now for the Bell, I could go on the Bell again. That's pretty cool. So, again, as we come to near the close of the show, we want to thank our sponsors. Harvest, again, Elevated Southern Cuisine by Chef Patrick Roney. You know they serve brunch there, Rick? Did you know? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
I did not know that. I've always get people asking me where to go for brunch, so now, well, Harvest.
So on those days from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., you can get in there for brunch, and I recommend the skillet of smoked pork, greens, poached eggs, and hollandaise, which all sounds like a kind of a mashup between hillbilly food and French food, and it all sounds good to me. But it's busy on brunch, so call 384-9090 for your reservations or do so online at harvestrestaurant.com.
And we want to mention again our longtime sponsor, the Eye Care Institute. Call them at 502-589-1500 to make an appointment for any sort of procedure you need done on your eyes or a simple routine vision check. So Eye Care Institute, thank you. Thanks to them again for sponsoring Eat, Drink, Talk. So now I just caught the tail end of you talking to Jared Schubert in here, Steve, and he seems like quite a personality.
He's hilarious. So he's my guest this afternoon. He is a legendary bartender around town, and he and another business partner started Lip Service Beverage Services a couple years ago. Now they have reformulated the company. It's called Bar House, and they are beverage consultants. They help people set up their bars, but they also are the liquid refreshment people at parties. And Jared talks a little bit about the cocktail scene, how it evolved here, and where it has gone. And the dude's just really very interesting to talk to. In fact, the interview runs a little bit longer than usual because I didn't want to cut him off. Big personality, lots to say. Listening to Jared Schubert.
Dessert? Yes, please.
I'm in the studio today for once. Instead of being out on the street with a microphone in hand, I'm speaking to Jared Schubert, now creative director at Bar House, formerly Lip Service Bar Solutions, or Beverage Solutions.
Beverage Solutions, yeah. More than just a bar. We just solve all the liquid problems, except for plumbing. We don't do that yet.
But you might. Lauren would make you do it, though.
Yeah, no, absolutely. She'd be like, "This something's wrong here. Go fix it."
Talk about your partner briefly.
Lauren Van Cleef.
Because I want to say Lauren Farrar, but I keep forgetting her married name.
No, yeah. So originally Lauren Smith, now Lauren Van Cleef. her parents are well known. There's a wonderful restaurant in Sellersburg called Neil and Patty's Fireside.
Huh.
That's been open forever.
Didn't know.
And she is the brains, literally. Or she's the duct tape on the Apollo moon mission of our project. She just holds the whole, like, she steers the ship, holds it all together. I think just dealing with me is a job in and of itself.
So is that your goal, drinks on the moon at some point?
Yeah.
Could you plan an event there?
That's my net. With zero gravity. I don't think I'm going to go full on moon. Just like 15 people in that sort of like the upchuck jet and see how far we get.
Well, talk about, you know, when you came on the scene was 7 years ago, with 732 Social, which is occupied now by what?
Galaxy.
It's Galaxy that's there. So Proof on Main really moistened the cocktail clay, as it were, here by introducing really good, well-made beverages. You guys took it to a whole different level. Who was among that clan? It's a famous lineup here.
I think it's almost like the Louisville lineage in a way. It started
the DNA.
Let's unravel this. It started. It's been 10 years now. I started this whole process. Kind of started at Bassa. With the Ton Brothers.
No kidding.
Yeah. It was the hardest bar audition I've ever had in my entire life. It was like Steven and a couple of his friends. And I literally had to make drinks for like 3 hours. And like all they would do is critique them until they were perfect. And I was just like, okay, I'm now humbled. I will do what you tell me to do.
A bar audition. So that's how you guys do it.
Not everybody, but I think in this situation, that's how
it worked. So it started. They did have great cocktails there.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome. No, so it started there. And Stephen was one of the first people that allowed you to push yourself creatively, but he made sure that you did it in a specific structure. Like, it was very sort of be creative, but edit it.
Don't get crazy. Do it well.
And I think it was a super important part of my growth, was having someone to be like, this is good, but. Because I think that's something now that I ask myself all the time, like, this is good, but...
Right, but can we improve here?
Can I, like, cut this out, or should I do this different?
So we're after Bassa.
So that's where Larry was waiting tables at the time.
Larry Rice,
the famous Larry Rice. He was waiting tables, I was bartending.
He was at Bassa?
He was at Bassa as well.
I never knew that.
Oh, yeah, it was Larry, and then Raina Shannon, who's over at Commonwealth Tap, she was there. I'm trying to think who else came through that place. It's such a long time ago. That's why I stopped drinking barrel strength whiskey, because the memory goes. I moved away for a little bit and helped a friend open a restaurant in Cincinnati for about a year. And that went extremely well, but I just missed here so much. So I came back, moved in with Larry, because I had no place to go. I sold my house here, and I was like, I don't really know. And I came back, and I was a food runner at Bassa. I didn't get back behind the bar. I just delivered food and took whatever money I could get. And then they had this project come up in the Green Building, and they're like, we'd like you guys to have a look. We like what both of you guys bring to the table. Have a look at it. They're like, but we're going to go to Chicago first. And I'd never been to Chicago. So I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. So we go and eat at this restaurant called Avec. That was the one place we wanted to go. And
Paul Kahan is the owner.
An amazing dude that guy is. So we go there, and the people at Avec go, hey, you should check out our new spot, The Publican. Another really great
spot.
Been
to that one. That's the last time I waited for a restaurant seat for 2 hours.
Worth it, right?
Yeah, it was quite good.
It was quite good. Had a wonderful time there, and they're like, hey, guys, you should go to our new bar.
The Violet Hour.
And that's when, like, literally, my brain is still on the ceiling of that place. We met some of the staff, and I think in general, traveling in the bar community, if you say you're from Kentucky, it's like the Visa card. You just get into places, and people will pour you stuff.
Because they think you're walking around with Pappy in your pockets, or what?
Well, they just think you're the smartest person when it comes to whiskey.
Isn't that funny?
I think we're better at storytelling most of the time than anything else. So we went in, and we met, the first person we really met was Stephen Cole, and he still owns Barrel House Flats. And a couple other places in Chicago, I believe. And he was excited. He was just like, can I make you guys a mint julep? And both Larry and I were like,
Yeah, because we only knew the Churchill Downs version.
Yeah, and we're like, well, if you want to. You know what I'm saying? Trying to be as hospitable of guests as you possibly can. Be like, if you want to. We watched him go through this process and make this mint julep like it was like the tea ceremony. Like everything was like very like, leaves are picked that look a certain way. Things go in. There was a process. And Larry and I are looking at each other going like,
this guy's serious.
This is it got real. Like, it got real, real. So I had it, and it literally just changed everything. I was like, wow, like, if we could just simply go back and just do the mint julep the way that we saw, and that's a right. lot of research that came from Toby Maloney and all those guys.
Right.
How incredible would that be? Well, then the snowball happened for that night. It was a very long night of trying a lot of drinks that had fresh ingredients, that had the ingredients being put in them were treated properly and things like that. So,
and at the same time, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, this is not happening back home. This needs to go on. Well, proof, I guess, somewhat.
Yeah, I think we saw what was happening in proof. We were super excited, but we wanted to push that envelope just a little bit further. We knew that the foundation that proof had laid was a really strong foundation. It was being accepted. But what we saw was like, man, we can just push it a little bit further and it'll catch on.
And some examples, the cut ice. You guys were the only people to do it, actually buying block ice and cutting.
Yeah, right? I think if Larry would have kept that up, he would probably be one of the handful of people in the country still doing hand. Like, because we shook on that hand cut ice. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything was done with those blocks of ice. We had a right. freezer in the back that we would. He obsessed about it. Like, it was that sort of like, I need to get it clear. But what I think what people don't realize.
Because clear ice, for listeners, what's the big deal about clear ice?
It provides, so that's less air. So it's a denser piece of ice, which sort of.
Melts more slowly.
By the laws of thermodynamics.
That's right.
Science.
little did we know we were going to get a lesson. Little did we know.
I think what people don't realize about social, at least from the beverage side of it, it was a learning process the entire time. We didn't sort of filter our juice. So every cocktail for the first like month came out like pulpy.
Muddy and pulpy. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, we just would look at each other and be like, I assume. But that's only, not only that, like, we didn't live in Chicago. So Larry and I were living together in a shotgun. I lived in the very far back room. We would wake up every day and for like 2 hours not speak to each other, but like go on YouTube and learn how to make these drinks.
No kidding.
3 hours out of the day. Like, it would be wake up noonish. And then until we both had to be at work, like literally coffee, look, how does Chris McMillan make a Sazerac? Like, what is his fingers doing? What is he?
He's like, not leaving the absinthe in the glass. He's rinsing.
He's rinsing it. It's like right. It's not really served on ice. This is how much he's putting in. Like, this is a little different from the original recipe. So we went through and we decided if we're going to do this, we literally have to be the best we possibly could. And I think there's a fun story that a handful of people know about. Before we opened social, we had a house party,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to invite friends over to try these drinks out who normally wouldn't be into classic cocktails.
Right.
And Marty Rosen was there, which
the
is
a former Courier food critic, restaurant critic.
Yeah.
Local musician.
Recorded the whole thing and it lasted like 5 hours. I think I made like 100 Sazeracs. Like,
oh my goodness.
This was like a real house party. A very expensive house party.
I should say.
It. Yeah. Like, it was super fancy. By the end of it, like, we just threw the tools away, started doing stuff in mason jars and just kind of honing it down to be like, all right, what was the end of
but
it?
But Rosen's recording. That's the special thing you're getting at.
I still, to this day, would love to hear, like, what the fly on the wall actually was like. I want to see what those notes actually were. Because I think by the end of that night, it kind of got hazy and kind of got a little.
Who could imagine with 100 Sazeracs?
Yeah. I mean, after I had, like, five and I was just like, I don't know what's going on anymore. Yeah.
So let's race to 2017 here.
Yeah.
And there was a great discussion on Facebook that you and I joined into. It was about, where do all the bartenders go? When we develop, Louisville's doing a good job developing talent. And as soon as that bartender seems to get really talented, they get offered a position at a distillery or a distributorship. And we're losing the mentorship of the cocktail crews here in town. Is that correct?
I think so. I mean, this is just my opinion. And this is something that I've seen. Like, other strong cocktail cities have very strong sort of mentorship. They have very strong lineage. And you can really kind of see that.
Meaning that some of the great people behind the sticks stay in one place a long time? Is that mentorship is established?
Yeah. I mean, like, look at Jeffrey Morgenthaler, like mm-hmm. a writer for...
Great guy,
too.
In Portland. Uh-huh.
Still is the bar manager, doesn't bartend. You know what he does every night? What's barbacks.
That? You're kidding.
He barbacks at Clyde Common, at least, I don't know, I'm assuming he still does. He still barbacks at Clyde Common. And he stays very present within his own program. And I think that's kind of a thing where you know, Ryan asked, like, where's everyone gone? I took the conversation off the sort of thread form because those things just get crazy.
Right.
And I said, well, what are you talking about? He's like, well, you know, like, I miss, you know Marie Zahn.
Saw her Friday night, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I haven't seen her in forever.
She was with Hawthorne that night at the Stitzel Weller Garden and Gun event.
I miss
her. She showed me how to do her own mint julep, as it were.
I miss her drinks because she was so wonderfully... She was the only person, I think, that could balance the weirdest ingredients together. I would look at her recipes and be like, girl, I think you're crazy. Like, straight up, I think you're crazy. And then she'd make it. I'd be like...
Crazy good.
I'd be like, dang it.
Like, wish I had that idea.
I thought I knew. But yeah, like you said, I think...
Is it like, Jared, when people see a great chef in town, they go, I want to go work for that guy. Does that part of it not exist anymore? Because you could say, well, I want to go work for Isaac Fox, or I want to go work... Well, I can't say Beth Burroughs, because Beth Burroughs now works for Jim Beam.
Yeah. Well, like, I think the most important thing is to talk about, like, why you leave the bar. I think a lot of people... Again, it's not... Sort of, there's not a whole lot of job security in a bar. So, like, in general, you know, you get older, you have kids, you need insurance, you want to buy a house. Like, all those opportunities are not, you're not necessarily able to do that just being a bartender.
Right.
So I think you have to make a choice to sort of grow up and pick a path that actually works. I mean, it's true. I mean, I'm not going to grow up, but that's okay.
So what can we expect from Barhouse?
What can you expect from...
Explain in 60 seconds the aesthetic of how it's kind of a play on Bauhaus.
So it's definitely, like you said, it's a play on Bauhaus. So what we like to do is we like to see that the bar is more than just what's in a glass. It's more than just a space. It's how all of these elements that really make a great drinking experience come together. And then how do we break them apart and then put them back together again?
And so this was under the lip service organization, as it were. My experience with that kind of thinking was when we did a Michter's event at the Prohibition exhibit at the Fraser Museum, and Jared was served, first round of cocktails was served in a Prohibition style prescription bottle.
Mm-hmm.
That was an old fashioned, just poured and off you went. Then, so what were our drinks that were hidden in the flower?
So we
for a speakeasy touch.
Yeah, we hid a Manhattan in a flask, iced within the sort of centerpiece.
Right.
We brought out that flower cart and literally just put everybody, like, gave everybody a bouquet of flowers, but there was actually a drink inside of that.
Right.
Well, we did the tea service. We did sort of English style tea service, but the drink, the tea was actually spiked. So that was something interesting. Oh, and then we finished with everyone just got milk, but it was actually a milk punch at the end of it.
That's right.
Yeah. So we like to challenge ourselves.
So if by chance that would be something you would like for your next party, how would somebody contact your wonderful company?
Well, we're doing events. We're also consulting on bars, or we would like to. If you want to get creative like that, you can find us at Barhaus, which is just Barha.us. That was a lucky thing that the .us came out the week we decided to switch over.
Nice.
We're like, score.
Jared Schubert, always a pleasure to talk to you. Sorry to cut you off so soon.
No, that's all right, Steve. You could, I mean, you know, the after-hour tape would be a whole lot better, but that's okay.
And you'll be back this studio. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
If you just can't get enough, catch up on the news of the city's restaurant scene every single day by visiting www.eatdrinktalk.net. Steve and Rick share all the latest local scoop from Louisville's restaurants and bars. You can also find old episodes of the show and connect with the guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Eat well, my friends. Another episode next week.